following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's dive into Ecclesiastes this morning. My objective this morning, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. But my objective is to get us 11 through 12. So we're going to do two chapters this morning, but we're going to move at a good pace, so it'll be totally okay. We're not going to be here forever, but we're going to go from 11 to 12. Now, there's one sidestep here that I have to bring up. I'm not going to cover chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and here's why. There's a couple that comes to our church, Bill and Robin Ferris, who many of you probably have known and have heard from before. They are such an incredible couple who's walked through so much together. A lot of life things have happened to them. Well, here's the cool thing. Pastor Bill Ferris, so we have Pastor Bill Welsh and we have Pastor Bill Ferris who come to Refuge. He's also a marriage and family counselor. He's spoken at, I think, two of our retreats, our marriage couples retreats. He is actually going to come and be a part of next weekend, and he's going to share with us Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 1 through 6. I believe Pastor Bill Welsh was having a walk with Pastor Bill Ferris, and Bill shared with him how important these verses have been in his own life and how he uses them as couples come to him and people come to him to seek counsel. He says, I use chapter 11, 1 through 6 in my counseling. And so I would love to come and share that. And Pastor Bill Welsh says, do it. We need you. We want you. We love you, right? We love to listen when Pastor Bill Ferris speaks. So he's going to be here next week with us. And he said this. He said, actually, I have some tools that I will give Refuge next weekend that they can use in their own lives based on chapter 11, 1 through 6. So are you excited about that? Yes, it's awesome. I guarantee you. There's wisdom in this man. So it'll be awesome. So I will not be covering chapter 11, 1 through 6. I'm going to jump right into Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. But before I do that, I want to share with you something that happened in my life a year ago that was so impactful for me and for this other person. The other person was my son, Jack. And a year ago, we got in a car together and we traveled up the mountains. It was just he and I. And what we did was, we did this thing that family life offers called Passport to Purity. And you can do it as a mom and a daughter, or you can do it as a father and a son. And Bethany set me up to do this in a good way, right? She set me up to say, hey, listen, take Jack away and talk about what it means to have godly relationships and purity. And so I said, yeah, absolutely, I want to do that. So he and I got away for a weekend together. We went up to the mountains and we listened to many of you probably know the name, Dennis Rainey, who led me through the weekend. And basically you put in the disc and they say, fathers, mention a time, think back to your childhood and what are some of the things that you wrestled with as a young boy? And I got to share those things with Jack. It was really cool. three in a row now. Okay, here we go. And I got to share those things with my son, and it was so powerful and so impactful in our relationship as a father and son. It was so impactful that I got to share with him past regrets and things that I knew as a young boy that he was going to be coming against as he reaches junior high. And he and I just spent such impactful quality time together. I remember sitting underneath the stars, and he and I just talking as like father and son, and him asking questions like relationship stuff and body type stuff, like what to expect. And it was just this amazingly incredible, sweet. We were doing, it was during the COVID time, and we got this awesome opportunity to go to Thousand Pines, and they had a whole room for us. And they would actually, because of COVID, they would bring food to our cabin. Like, we didn't even have to leave the cabin. It was like we would just order it on our phones and they would deliver it. They'd knock on the door and then they'd disappear and the food would be right there. It was like the perfect guy weekend, right? No food prep. It was incredible. But he and I just talked this entire time about godly wisdom. And as I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 12, I would just put it in that context. It's almost like Solomon is saying, hey, come away with me, son. Come away with me, daughter. I want to share with you godly wisdom that I learned in my life. as I span over and look over my entire life, here are some things I would tell you. So look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. One of the things also I would just say as I learned that weekend was that there's such power that dads have in our words and our actions towards our kids. Let me say that again. I believe that weekend, as I talked with Jack, there was such power in those words that I was sharing with him and who I was that weekend for Jack. And dads, I would just encourage you this with this. It's never too late to share those words with your kids. Granddads, same thing. Never too late. In fact, I got the opportunity to talk to Bill Ferris last service as he was sitting up here with Robin. He came up to me afterwards and he says, you know how few a dads ever share any impactful wisdom with their kids. In fact, especially as it pertains to growing up. And he said, Jeff, you know what? Here's the thing. There's oftentimes no rule book on how to do it. And men are just caused, hey, just get married. Hey, just have kids. But there's never the conversation that says, let me share with you how, maybe some helpful tips along the way. Let me sit with you in a cabin, or let me sit with you in a car, and let me just pour into you some wisdom, some godly wisdom that I've seen over the years. And he's saying, listen, more dads, I would add more granddads, need to do that. And so maybe that's your encouragement here. Solomon is going to do that here in this moment. He's going to give us some powerful words of wisdom. He's going to say, I've lived a long time, and as I look back over my life, here's what I wish I would have known. Look at verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. What's he saying? He's saying there, you're going to have days where things go well. When there's light and sun and joy and peace and happiness, you're going to have these days. And he's going to say this, remember those days. Hold tightly on to those days. Enjoy those moments. In fact, this last week, as I was walking out to my car to leave, to go home from work, I stepped out and the sun was shining. Right? Do you remember that this week the sun was out and it was actually warm? And as I walked out, the warmth of the sun hit my back and I just paused for a minute. I was like, oh, I just want to drink that in. It was kind of cool out, but the warmth of the sun was so refreshing. And I think that's what Solomon is saying here. At some point, stop and pause. Don't hurry on to your car and get in and go about your day. Instead, in those moments where the sun hits your back, pause, be warmed by it, take it in. Maybe more practically, he would say today, as you maybe go to someone's house for Father's Day, pause, take a moment, enjoy that man, that father. Enjoy the company that you're in. Maybe enjoy the barbecue that you're about ready to eat. He says, stop. You can't just keep running and running and running and never stop to enjoy the light of day, the sweetness of life. But I'm so guilty of it. I just want to keep running. I just want to keep going and going and going. And he's saying, sometimes you just need to stop. Let the sun hit your back. Take a breath. Take it in. Enjoy life. He says, why? Because look what's coming. Darkness follows right behind. He says, yet let me remember that there are days of darkness, for they will be what? They will be many. Solomon knew what it was like as he looked over his life. He would have said, I had so many days of darkness, deep valleys, where I didn't even recognize God at all in my life. As I strove to find significance and purpose in things, wealth and women, he would say. Like, I looked everywhere. I tried to fill my life, and I had dark, dark days. In fact, he says, they were many. Look at verse 8. He says, all that is coming is what? Vanity. In other words, it's going to go quick. It's going to be empty. As you look over your life, know this. Hold on to these days of goodness. Hold on to those days when goodness is there in your life. Remember those days, because you're going to have days of darkness. And he says, listen, it's going to go quick. All this life is going to go quick. So when you get the opportunity to talk to your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter or your wife or your husband or your coworker, pause for a minute and listen to them and be present in that moment. It's one of the things Beth and I talk about. Are you present right now? Are you present with me? Be present in that moment, because that moment will not last forever. You don't always get those moments back. Life will keep going. And he says, life actually will just go on and move so quickly. So enjoy the good times. Solomon is saying that. I want you to recognize and enjoy the good times, because they will not last forever. And then, as if he has this young person sitting with him, or young people sitting with him, he says, listen to this. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What's he saying? He's saying, young people, you are young and energetic and tireless and passionate, right? Remember those days? Remember when that used to be the case, where you could go to the park and you could play all day long and you would never, ever get tired? In fact, your parents would call you back home. You're like, no, I want to stay out here. Whereas today, like, you go for a jog and you're like, oh, my back, right? I'm paying for that for the next couple days. Young people, he says, be energetic. Be young, be free. Take advantage of the time, is what he's saying. And as parents, as a dad, I think, man, I want my kids to be able to go and have fun. Go be young, be free. Go enjoy life. Man, parents, grandparents, don't you want that? Don't you want, when you look at your kids, right? One of the greatest things is to see them laugh and smile and enjoy the things of life. Instead of being, he says, warning, watch out. Don't be weighed down by the things of this life. And I thought about, man, what are things today that kids are walking through that are weighing them down? I would say one of the things, as I look at my own kids, like the pressures of grades, of getting good grades, or the pressures of sports, like compete well, do well in sports, make the team, right? All these things. I think about, like, man, think about the element of social media today and the what's behind that. Like, looking at the comparison traps of social media as a junior higher, right? Having to think, oh, my friends are meeting together without me, right? They're hanging out without me. Or look at their life. Their life is so good. And look at my, the comparison trap and having to deal with that as a young person is huge. You talk about a weight that we probably never had to carry, but they are carrying along. How about the pressures of relationship issues and friend issues, fitting in, right? I mean, the weights of childhood. And Solomon would say, listen, those are there in every generation. There are different weights that young people have to deal with. He said, but young people, enjoy this moment of your life. Try to see that the weight, there's still more weight to come, but in this moment where you have a little bit more freedom, you have a lot more energy, right? Go and pursue your dreams. Young people, go and pursue your dreams. Those things that you enjoy, go do them now. And I think, again, as parents, we're like, yes, that's what we want for our sons and daughters and our grandkids. We want them to do that because we know what happens. What happens? They get older, and there's more pressures, and there's less energy, right? And so at this age, when we see these young people, we're like, go and do it. In fact, I think what Solomon is saying, don't worry, what? Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now, right? He's singing that old song, right? Don't worry, be happy. But there's a little caveat here. Look what he says. I want you to go enjoy life, but also recognize God will bring you into judgment. In other words, young people, he's saying, go just fulfill your dreams. But while you do that, don't be a fool, right? Don't be an idiot about it. Instead, go have fun, enjoy, but recognize that God is still a God of youth. Like, he still cares about what you do. This isn't Solomon saying, just go do whatever you want, right? Solomon learned that firsthand. He walked in many ways, as we look at Ecclesiastes and we look at his life, he in many ways walks away from the Lord to enjoy life, right? I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and I don't need to have God telling me what to do. And Solomon's saying, don't do that. He's still a God of the youth as well. In fact, look at verse 10. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. I think what he's saying there is that if you will honor God as you're pursuing the joy of life in your youth, if you will honor God, you will have far less sorrow in your heart. I think young people, I think if you would talk to the other people, the older people in this room, myself included, you would find that we would sell a similar story. That if you walk with God, it will prevent so much sorrow in your heart. That you will go down paths that you do not want to go down as you forget about God. Instead, remember God, don't go down those paths, and there will be far less sorrow in your heart. In fact, look what he says there. He basically says, run from evil. Put away evil from your flesh. Run as far away as you can from evil. Now, what I see happening when I was the high school youth pastor here is young people would live in their parents' home. They would grow in the Lord, grow in the Lord, grow in the Lord. They'd hit their senior year. They'd walk away from the Lord in their freshman year. They'd go and explore and think, well, I've got to fit in somewhere. I'm out from underneath my parents' rooftop, and maybe some of them out from under their rules. So I'm going to go seek and find happiness and joy and pleasure, and I'm looking for my own way in life. And that's what oftentimes would happen. In fact, I can personally testify about that in my own life, because that's exactly what I did. Stepped out from underneath my mom's roof and started seeking after life and joy and happiness and living my youth, because I'm young and I'm energetic and I'm free, right? Solomon is saying, be careful of that. Be careful of that, young people, because what does he say? There will be sorrow of heart. And I can testify even more to that. And I think many of you can as well. That when you step out underneath the bounds of God's commands and what he says and where he's guiding us and his purpose for your life, and you become purposeless as you sought after pleasure and joy and happiness in all the wrong places, sorrow actually fills your heart. I remember the most miserable times of my life, laying in bed thinking, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I going? Right? Pointless, purposeless living. And here's the lie of the enemy. Here's what I saw happening when I was a high school youth pastor and I saw kids walking away. What I saw happening was kids were starting to make pivotal decisions in their life. Who I date, who I marry, what jobs I get. And they weren't walking with the Lord because they had walked away from the Lord. And I oftentimes think in my own life, it is only by God's grace that I got to marry the wife that I have. Well, yeah, amen to that for sure. That was it was only by God's grace that he spared me, right? That in the fact that he said 7 years of just being single and you seeking after me, Jeff, and not dating anyone, right? That I'm going to clear the banks and I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to save you, and then you get to marry this amazing person. So it's only by his grace. And I think about young people who in this pivotal situation think, I need to go live my life because I want to have fun and I want to have joy. And I got to seek that out other places other than in my home and with God. And I think what Solomon is saying is go have fun, go have joy and peace and fill your life, pursue your dreams. But listen, Solomon's warning is don't do it apart from God. Don't walk away from him. You don't have to walk away from him and live a meaningful, purposeful, joy-filled, exciting life. They're not two different things. They're one and the same. And so I think Solomon's trying to warn this young person, saying, hey, just be careful. And listen, look at verse 10. He says, for childhood and youth are vanity. Here's what he's saying. Before you know it, young person, this life is going to advance past your youthful years. And there's going to be responsibilities, and there are going to be things and weightiness of life that are going to come that you don't see yet. And he's going to say, and what he's saying is, hold tightly to the Lord in that season of youth. So when these times come, these weightier matters of life, you have some place to turn to, the living God. That you have someone who loves you, wants to guide you, and has given a purpose for your life in the living God. And I realized this as I was thinking about this when Bethany and I were young parents. We'd walk through the hallways with our little ones. We have three. They're older now, junior high and high school. But many of you would come to us and you would say, Jeff, enjoy that time. Bethany, enjoy that time, because they're going to be grown before you even know it, right? Some of you said that to us. And in that moment, we can kind of take that in and be like, yeah, we understand that. We understand that. We didn't understand what you were talking about until we got to the moment where our kids are now in junior high and our oldest daughter's in high school, and we're thinking, what happened to the time? What happened to the time? It's flown by so fast. And yes, we've tried to enjoy moments along the way, but it feels like it's going so fast, because sometimes you don't understand what people are saying until you're in that moment. And Solomon is saying, listen, childhood and youth are vanity. And some young people will listen to that and think, yeah, it's not me. I got forever. I'm only 15. I'm only 18. I got my life ahead of me. And what he's saying here is, listen, it's going to go by fast. So what you actually do right now in your life is building a foundation for what will happen in the future. What you do with God right now in your life will impact what kind of life you live in the next 5 years, but also in the next 20 years. So he says, don't forget about God. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now, what does he say? Your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember in this moment that your Creator, don't live without him in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. What's he saying? Young people, remember your Creator. Powerful. Solomon, right? This guy who tried to fill his life with so many different things, partying and revelry and all these crazy things. And he had everything he could possibly want at his fingertips. And in his old age, he says, young people, remember your Creator in your youth. What if you could skip all the mistakes that I made? What if you could just adhere to my wisdom, Solomon would say, and remember God throughout your entire life? What if you didn't have to walk away from him to seek happiness and joy and peace and patience? What if? Instead, in him is happiness and joy and peace and patience. And that moment when it hits you, like, I need to go back to the God of my youth, right? What if you never had that moment and you just kept walking with him throughout? What if you push back, young people, against the trend of leaving my house and leaving my home and leaving my God? And instead you said, actually, I'm going to fight to stay in the battle for my faith all the way until I'm older. What if I never had to walk away, or what if I never walked away? Look what Solomon says. There will become years if you walk away. Well, you will say, as Solomon did, I have no pleasure in them. Imagine years of saying, I have no pleasure in those years. As I look back, those years brought me no joy, no peace, no happiness. And I would just say again, if you polled the audience, and I was one of them, we would say there were years where there was no pleasure in those years. Yes, we maybe advanced in our jobs, or maybe we had some good times here and there. But at the end of the day, at night, if you would talk to nighttime Jeff, there was no pleasure in those years. Even though it may be filled with stuff, it wasn't pleasurable. And Solomon is saying the same thing. I have years where there's just no pleasure in them. And he's saying, what if? What if you didn't ever have to have those years? Instead, you walked with God through the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. You just kept walking with him. And then he hits this, which is, I think, kind of a poetic riddle, which I thought would be kind of fun this morning if I just read it to you and you try to guess what he's talking about. But don't look in the notes of your Bible. I saw some of you just go right there, right? Try to not look, and then I'll read it, and you tell me, based on the context that we're talking about, what he may be talking about, right? Here we go. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Kind of a poetic riddle. Some of you are like, and that's why I don't read the Bible, right? We talked about this last week. That's also confusing. It sounds like a bunch of jumbled words. But here's the beauty of the Bible. If we understand that he's shooting for poetry, and poetry isn't always linear in its thinking. Instead, he's drawing out a picture and an image, which I'm going to help you do here in a minute. Does anybody think they know what he's talking about without looking at their Bibles? Yeah. Old age. Boom! Right on the nail. Hit the nail on the head. Perfect. Old age. So let's walk through this for a second and let's put some sense to it. In fact, I even gave you a little picture up here. And so here we go. Let's read through this. It says the keepers of the house. What's he talking about? More than likely the arms and the hands. The strong men bow down. We talk about the legs and the knees. Keep in mind the context here. He's saying young people, there's going to be a moment where you get to be an older person, what he describes right here. There's a moment when these things will start to happen to you. Mark my words, he would say. Look what he says. The grinders cease because they are few. What's he talking about? Teeth, right? The grinders cease because they become fewer and fewer. Less effective. The windows grow dim. What's he talking about? The eyes. The sound of grinding is low. The ears. One rises up at the sound of a bird. Sleep becomes more difficult. And in fact, little things as you get older begin to wake you up quicker. Young people, you sleep forever. Shut the doors, keep the blinds low. I can sleep till 1 o'clock, right? Not anymore. It's just back. It keeps me getting up early and the sounds and it says the daughters of music are brought low. Singing and music becomes less appreciated, right? That loud music, turn it down. Afraid of height and of terrors in the way. Sometimes in life, as you get older, you become more fearful of things. What's this one? The almond tree blossoms. The white on the hair or in the beard, that's what I, white in the hair and on the beard, the almond tree blossoms. And he says, here's something else you can look forward to. The grasshopper is a burden. Once I was active and free, and now I feel more burdensome when I get active and free. Desire fails. The passion and desires weakens and wanes in some ways. I remember I was about 40 when this happened. I started to realize I don't feel like exercising anymore. Like, I used to love going to shoot baskets and play basketball and surfing, and all of a sudden, just even the desire to go do it started to wane. I'm like, no, right? It's too soon. And I'm just telling you, and what Solomon is telling you is young people, you don't even know, right? It's coming, right? Be prepared. And so that's why, let me take you back to the beginning. He says, enjoy your youth. Enjoy your energy. Be free. Go after those goals. Laugh. Smile. Enjoy your youth. And then he takes another step, still talking about in the area of poetry. Look at verse 6. He says, remember your creator. And now he's going to use some images maybe that would have been common to them in their day about death. He says, before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered on the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. Look at that idea of loosed and broken and shattered. And he mentions broken again. Verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. He's using that imagery to drive home a point, right? And notice what he's done. He said, youth, live life, enjoy life, honor God in your youth, because here's what's coming. The almond tree is going to ripen, right? The body isn't going to be all the time what it is now for you youth. And eventually, both the young and the old, this day is coming. The day where maybe we would use the terminology, we will kick the bucket, right? The ticker will stop ticking, right? Or lots of different phraseology that we use for that. But he's saying that day is coming for everyone. And then Solomon, in this a most amazing moment, because as we've traveled, as you've traveled with us through Ecclesiastes, there's been a lot of times when we've thought, Solomon, what are you even saying? Like, why does this make sense? Or I think that's even wrong, Solomon. He comes to this epiphany, this moment of wisdom, where he says this, your body will be ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But what does he say next? But your spirit, your soul, will return to God who made it. There's this moment of clarity for Solomon that all of us have to reconcile with. And the question is, what happens when our body ceases to exist? And Solomon says, your soul actually returns back to God who created it. And that's something we all have to wrestle with. This understanding that says, well, I was younger and I have to wrestle with that. And now I'm older. I may be even approaching that time. Then what happens to my soul? Which, by the way, church, this is the amazing call of Christ on our lives. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the God who created the soul. No one comes to that God but through who? Through Jesus, through me, he says. That, in other words, Jesus is recognizing there's going to be a moment where this body ceases to exist, but if you want to spend eternity with my Father in heaven, you'll come through me. Through my death and my resurrection. And then you and I, church, get this opportunity to look at Solomon and think, yes, that makes perfect sense. The Spirit returns to the one who created it. And the way they enter into his presence is by the covering of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And his resurrection is the power. And then you and I fulfill the calling, right? That Jesus says, go out into all the nations, all the way back, all the way to 2020. Right? All the way, keep going, 2021 in Huntington Beach, and you proclaim the gospel. You proclaim where that spirit goes, that soul goes when it dies. It goes to be in the presence of God. And the covering over of Jesus is the one that forgives us of all of our sins. Solomon knew this. He didn't have all the details, but he knew this one thing, this body will cease to exist, and that soul will continue on. Powerful. Look at verse 9. And he says, and moreover, because the preacher, Solomon in this case, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs or truths. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. See what Solomon's doing here? He's piecing together. I have this life story of all these things that I've pondered and thought about. And I'm going to put these things together so that people will understand them. The next generation will see them and read them and live by them. It says here that he sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. Verse 11, the words of the wise, in fact, he would say, are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Look up on the board here for a second. He mentions goads. Oftentimes, shepherds would use them to move their animals into a certain path or a certain direction. And Solomon is saying that's what the words are like. The words, as we read them this morning, they were intended to move you in a certain direction. Maybe to think more about stopping and pausing in your life to enjoy the things that God has brought into your life. Maybe it's to call into question, am I walking with God? Do I even know God at all? And maybe the words I'm hearing this morning should lead me to then walk with him. Or maybe I haven't given a lot of consideration to the fact that I'm getting older, right? My body keeps reminding me, but I haven't given a lot of thought to the fact that maybe I don't have eternity here on earth. And then, yeah, Jeff, what does happen to my soul when I move on? Those are the words that Solomon put together and planted. They're like goads to lead you down the path. And then he says, and like well-driven nails. You know what a nail that's not driven well does? Goes off to the side, right? And it can't hold those two pieces of wood together. But a well-driven nail will keep those two pieces of wood together. Much like what Solomon is saying with my words. I want my words to lead you somewhere, and then I want them to keep you together, to keep you solid in the truth that I am teaching. And in fact, that's what the Bible is altogether, right? It's God's way of goading us, moving us to a direction he wants us to go. And then when we get there, he says, I want you to live by these things. I want them to be solid in your home and in your family. I want them to keep you together, in so many words. And he says, look at what he says, given by one shepherd. Who's our shepherd? Jesus. Jesus is our shepherd. Look at verse 12. And he says, and furthermore, my son, be admonished or be warned by these words that I've shared with you. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Think about how much was actually written in Solomon's day, right? There's probably some, right? But nothing compared to what's written today. And imagine voicing your opinion in Solomon's day. Maybe you would write something down, but you'd more than likely proclaim it out loud. But think how many people have our attention today. Think about our phones that send us messages. Hey, you got to read this new article that just came out. Think about all the podcasts. Anyone can start a podcast, right? Anyone can do it. Right? You could do it, and you could share your opinions. There's so much information out there, both good and bad. We've learned that this last year, right? And if you're like me, anything like me, this last year has made my mind wearisome, right? Trying to categorize in my mind, what does that mean? And is that true? And is this true? And all these people of high authority giving opinions and ideas. And Solomon says here, listen, that will make you wearisome. All these things. And this was in Solomon's day. Think about today what he would have said. You're exhausted, right? You must be exhausted with all the information out there. So what does he tell us to do? I don't think it's run from wisdom or knowledge. I think he would say, go towards those things, but keep this in perspective. Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's what he says. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Whether you're young or whether you're older, information being thrown at you, he says, strip all that away. Yes, pursue knowledge and wisdom. And yes, be readers. Like, those are important things. But at the end of the day, come back to this moment where you live for God, you fear God, you revere him in your life, you honor him with who you are and obey his commands. Simply put, Solomon says, listen, I've lived my entire life pursuing wisdom and knowledge, and I've lived outside the bounds of God's okayness, right? His righteousness. I've lived outside those bounds. But at the end of the day, if I'm just sitting with you in my car, Jack, and we're heading up the mountains, and we're going to hang out together, let me just give you this. Fear God, and obey his commands. Honor God with your life in your youth, and then as you grow older, honor God with your life. And look what he says in verse 14. Basically, God cares. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. When I think about who's writing that last phrase, Solomon must look at his own life and think, man, I did a lot of things I thought were in secret, right? Solomon, who could do anything he wanted, he probably did so many things. And in this moment, he's thinking, but God will judge each and everything that I did. Each and every one of those things. Even when I was young and crazy and a little naive, yep, he still judges those things. God cares about those things. So he says, live with the perspective where we honor God, we fear God with all that we are, no matter what age we're in, and we honor God with our lives. And here's why I think that's important, and here's where we'll close. Think about it this way. Young people, if you will say, in my lifetime, what my sole purpose is to live for God, to honor him. Yes, I want this, and I want to get a good job, and I want to make some money, and I want to get married, or I don't want to get married, whichever. I want to move forward in life, right? So whatever happens to me, I'm going to make this my goal in life, what Solomon says. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to honor him in my life, in my relationships, in the things that I do, in the quietness of my, when it's just me. I'm going to honor God. Think about what would happen inside of a church, right? Just even just Refuge alone. But think about the big church. If young people just said, I'm going to heed Solomon's wisdom. And no matter where I go or what I do, my sole purpose, my one goal is to fear God, to honor him with my entire life. Think how radically changed the next generation would be, right? And I would just tell you this. Solomon is here talking to young people, and warning kind of older people, hey, this day is coming when the end will be here. You don't have much time either. He's speaking down into the next generation. Now think about this. What if the older generation, let's just take from me up, all right? The older generation, what if we said we're going to live lives of integrity and character? When we gather together like this, we're going to be joyful and there's going to be celebration. And we're going to show younger people that as you get older, there's still joy in following the Lord. There's still peace in following the Lord. There's still celebration. And there's still successes in life, even when you follow the Lord. We painted the picture for the next generation, those that are below us, that, hey, that's a good path. And I would just speak to dads today and men. Like, we have a great opportunity in this moment to take heed these words of Solomon and begin and continue, for many of you, continue living lives that honor him. And what we do in secret matters. It affects what we do in public. So be men of integrity and character. And say, listen, I want the next generation. I want my son. I want my grandkids. I want those young people at church to have an example of what it looks like to be a strong man of God who lives with joy, who lives with happiness and peace. I want to be that for the next generation so they will follow in those footsteps. Amen? Let's pray. God, I believe that any type of work that happens in a morning like this morning as we open up your word, and you really in so many ways goad us, right? You move us along down the path. It only happens by the work of your spirit. And I believe that your spirit will work long beyond what happened this morning in the last hour here in this room. Lord, that as people leave and get into their cars, your spirit is still at work. And you're still encouraging and strengthening. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do that. Lord, would you continue to strengthen our church for the call that you've put upon us? I imagine, Lord, in your perfect blueprint, there are young people who are vibrant in life and faith, and they're moving forward because they have the energy and the strength and the passion, and they want to do it for you. Lord, would you raise those young people up as you have been? Lord, I believe that even in this congregation here this morning, there's some of those young people. Lord, that they have the energy and the strength to move the gospel forward and to live for you and be strong on your behalf. And Lord, would you strengthen the older generation and give us, I believe in your perfect blueprint as we look at the church, Lord, it's older people who aren't afraid to step down and invest in the younger congregation, to live lives of character and integrity for our families, but also for our church family. Would you strengthen us for that as well? God, I, again, and this is where, Lord, I believe that you extend so much grace and mercy that we don't even deserve. I know that there probably are some people in here this morning who would say, I haven't done it right. I didn't do it right. Or I could have done it better. Or I said that thing. I shouldn't have said that thing. And Lord, I believe that you're a gracious, loving, heavenly Father who would say to that person, as you've said to me in the past, Jeff, I forgive you. Now move forward in strength. Move forward and fulfill the call that I put upon you to be that dad and that father and that husband. And Lord, I believe you'd extend that to anyone here this morning that would say, listen, today's the day that I start living in strength. Lord, your strength and your power. And I start fulfilling the role of what you've called me to be and who you've called me to be. And so I pray that this morning, Lord, that we would leave this place in strength and ready again for you to continue the work on us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.